Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamada, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everyone. This is Shisada. I'm bowing to the divinity in all of you tonight. I thank you for spending your evening with me. I'm joined again by PLAN, as always. Thank you for being with us, PLAN. We'll go ahead and clear the space and get started. Take a nice deep breath and call yourselves forward. Mother, Father, God, that I am. Through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the Office of the Christ, through the Order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, Keeper of the Violet Flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, a shaft to surround each one of us, and I ask that they all be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you, to humanity. And I place myself in service. PLAN places herself in service to all of you listening to the program. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Beautiful. Come back to the space. I will thank you all again for joining us for Satsang. I just said to PLAN before we started, is there anything specifically that we need to touch on? Normally, it seems like there are things that are left not quite spoken from one session to the next. So we always come together and say, you know, what did we not cover enough, or were there questions that came up that need to be covered? And she said that she has something specifically that she wants to share, which is not in my awareness right now, but I told her to go ahead and take as much time as she wants. So I'm going to hand it over to PLAN to speak for a little bit here.
Okay. All right. So what came was, earlier today I was talking to, now I will preface this by saying, one thing that Shusar always tells us is that when you do this work, where you walk this path, it's always with one hand up, one hand down, which means, of course, my one hand up is to her. She's my guide. And the one hand down is to anyone that may not have the same understandings as myself. And so I was talking to someone earlier today that asks for advice. We have done some, you know, work together, and just as far as life and things that are going on for him. And so he says to me, you know, I appreciate you so much. I don't know what I would do without you. You're such a gift to me. That's great. Thanks. You know, it's an honor for me to be in service to you. However, you really should listen in to our show tonight. You know, and I give him the details, and it's kind of one of those things that's like, yeah, if I can fit it in, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And it hit me that, like, for those of you listening, I don't know if you have an understanding really so far as what Shusara can offer. And in my conversation with the person earlier today, you know, I said to him, you know, if you think I'm great, you really need to start listening to the show. Because she's, you know, way above me on that, you know, as far as her understandings and what she can offer. And he seemed kind of puzzled by it. And I was like, so then I had to explain, and I don't need to get into the whole story of it, but if people knew where I was at before I started working with you, like, I mean, when I say that I came to this work on my knees, I literally was at a point where I had to make a choice between living or dying, you know, and a lot of people don't know that because you try so hard to cover it up. You don't want people to know where you're really at. Mm-hmm. And it really literally for years, I was just so unhappy and angry about where my life was, and I felt trapped by it, you know, and I didn't see a way out no matter what I read, no matter what I did, you know, and I consciously made that plea with the universe, like, if I'm supposed to be here, then show me the way. Because otherwise, I want out. Mm. And I found you. But people need to, I want people to know, like, that's what you can do. You know? If they could see where I was and where I am now, like, people that interact with me now, you know, when they find that out, they're like, what? Like, I can't even imagine that. No, because this is what you see now, you know, and I want people to know that, like, what you do is no joke. And if it can take me from where I was to where I am now, you know, it's a completely different world now. And I want people to see, like, the importance of the work that you do. You know, I want people that are listening, like, if you think that what Shusara has to offer is great, tell your friends. You know, spread the word. And if you feel strongly about it, do it with passion. You know, let everybody know. Post it on Facebook. We need to start spreading the word because what we have here is a gift. A true, true gift. And I want people to realize that. And I'm hoping that maybe me telling you my story, that maybe, you know, you'll realize what we really have here. So, that's it.
That's all. That was beautiful. And thank you for such kind words. You know, and it's very easy to hear that because I don't think of the work that I do as being my work. And certainly for PLAN, she is where she is today because of her work. And I don't take credit for that. There's no credit there. Can I be there to guide her in her path? Absolutely. And that is why I'm here. And I'm able to do that because I've walked it. And, you know, yes, functioning from a higher level of awareness makes it easier for someone like me to help guide others, but I'm not the one doing it, you know. And so what you say is very accurate, because if I were to speak of my guide, I would speak of my guide the exact same way. Nothing would be different, because I do give so much credit to Atona Reyes. I couldn't ever give enough credit. But I know she would say the same thing that I'm saying in response to my praise. You know, she would say that, well, you're the one who actually walked it. You know, it's because of you that you are where you're at. So thank you for that. But it is true. I think that it's one of the downsides of functioning the way I function is we don't go around tooting our own horn. It just doesn't kind of happen. And what gets kind of lost in that is that the work that I do that has been passed to me through my guide is very, very unique work. And has kind of been in this place of, I would almost call it like relative secrecy for a very long time, although it wasn't meant to be kept secret. It's just that, you know, my personal guide was never someone who put an ad out for the work she did. She didn't, no one knew who she was unless you were led to her, you know. And it was a beautiful act of grace that I happened to be led to her. And it's been kind of the same with me, other than I have stepped out. We have, you know, formed our organization. And so I do have a little more of a face that way. But the work itself still remains, you know, it's like sitting there in obscurity because people just don't know what it is we do. And they can look at other well-known gurus or teachers, whatever you want to call someone who does spiritual guidance, and see what they do, and all they have to compare our work on is that. And while there are components to our work that are similar to, say, Advaita and just some other things out there, that's not what we do. What we do encompasses so much more, and it's so much, it's like it's so much broader, but this in the, but it's so much deeper. I don't really know how else to put it. Traditionally with, and I love to come back to Advaita, because anyone who is versed in Advaita would be very, very, very comfortable doing this work with me. But at the same time, the issue I always had with Advaita is that there's a stopping point. That stopping point being when one kind of rests in the eternal. And there's more than just that. And that's why with Atona, that, you know, she was here to start to bring that, but there is more. You know, you are individuated. Yes, you are the eternal, but you're individuated. And you do exist in this realm that, you know, we would call the illumined worlds. And you have, you know, there's another aspect of you that's there that can be experienced. And you can actually walk in that world consciously while still in this body. And then when it's time for this body to not need to function here anymore, then you can return there fully and not get pulled back into the world of life and death and reincarnation. And so there are multiple aspects to the work that we do, you know, and then, of course, if you've been listening, you know that I bring in a lot of science as well all the time, every time I can, because people can wrap themselves around, if you tell them it's been scientifically proven, then they can go, oh, like, okay, so now I automatically kind of believe you because there's science behind it. And that's just the world we live in today. Well, great, so let's use it. You know, and there is, you know, the science of epigenetics, and it has its place, and quantum physics has its place, and it's all wonderful. And so I love to bring it in whenever I can in my work to help kind of create this synergistic thing between all these different components. It's very hard to get people to understand what you do when you do this, because it's just not like anything else. I've never... You know, for as much as I was a seeker before I found my guide, even since finding my guide, just being aware more and more of what is out there. I've just never seen anything like it, you know. And I'm sure, Pyelian, you would agree with that because you were a seeker prior to finding me, yeah. And this was unique work to you as well. So I really appreciate you saying what you've said, because it is hard, you know, and this is one of the things that, like, we struggle with, even with our core council members. They're like, we need an elevator speech. Like, we need something to be able to say to someone in the span of like 2 minutes what it is that we do. And I just sit there and scratch my head, like, how on earth could you pull all that into 2 minutes worth of, you know, casual conversation? You know, certainly the greatest thing that we do is to guide someone to return and live from their heart. I mean, that is the core of what we do. The process of it, you know, looks very different than that. But that is the reason we do what we do, is because ultimately you are your heart. And you're existing in a reality where your heart plays a very, very minimal role in how you function in your world. And people are in denial about that. Because it's scary. I mean, the thought that especially if you've identified yourself with being loving and kind, you know, when you start to see the way that you have, you know, kind of subconsciously, not that you're doing these things on purpose, but when you recognize the way you have subconsciously set people up to fail, you know, even setting yourself up to fail, and you recognize how hurtful you have been to others and continue to be to others, even when you're doing your work. I mean, I have advanced students who will kind of contact me one day and be like, oh my gosh, you'll never believe what I just saw. Oh, she's, you want to say something about that?
I'm just saying. I mean, what have I been doing this for, what, 3.5 years, something like that? But even just in my last big processing thing, I was like, oh my God. When you see the things that you do and you're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. But still.
Right, right. And of course, the challenge that you really recognize so clearly this last go around, is that we get to a place in our lives where we feel very clear, and then we can kind of be seduced into thinking that we've arrived, and then we kind of stop looking so closely. And that's, you know, it's kind of like one of those little cul-de-sacs on the route to your enlightenment, is getting stuck in those little places where everything seems to be good and you feel good. But, you know, it's like this. I'm going to go back to that quote that, of course, I heard from Lady Athena, and I know it came from someplace else, but I couldn't tell you where. But she would always say, you know, the price for freedom is eternal vigilance. It may have been John Kennedy, I don't know. But anyway, it's very true, you know, that in a sense, you know, you never arrive. So you have to be vigilant. I've gotten lessons in that this past week very strongly, from a very different level, but very strongly, right? That you just kind of can't relax into any space thinking that, like, this is it, because it's not it. There's always more. You're always being challenged to move forward and to keep going upward, for lack of a better word. And, you know, you have to keep in mind that on your spiritual path, now remember, your life itself is your spiritual path. It's your life, everybody. No matter what you do, no matter who you are, and whatever that life looks like, that life is there specifically to give you everything you need to return home, right? To rest your awareness in the divine all the time. And it's all being given to you in everything that's happening to you in your daily life. You don't need anything else. The thing you do need is guidance on how to use what it is that's happening in your daily life to then navigate your way through it to make that return trip. Does that make sense? Because that's exactly what we do.
Yes. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
You don't need a book. Now, can I recommend books? Sure, I can recommend books. And some of them, you know, I would highly recommend, and I do. But do you need a book? No. right? You don't need a DVD set, or you don't need workshops. You don't need whatever. But you do need someone who has walked it, who can then guide you through it. Because the lower mind and the construct of lower mind is so complete in the way it works, in its machinations, that you can't be in it and walk out of it from within it. It's like a big labyrinth, you know, that you just kind of get stuck in, and you'll think you're on the path and you think you see the way out, you know, until you get there and you realize, oh, that wasn't it. And then you're all twisted around backwards and you don't know where you are. Well, that's what the mind does. So for any seeker, you know, as you're moving and you are just going from teacher to teacher or book to book or whatever, this is exactly what's happening all the time. Like, you feel like you come into an understanding and then you feel good and then you're like loving it. But then at the end of the day, no matter how long it takes, maybe it's a couple days, maybe it's a couple years, you're like, huh, there's still something missing, right? And everybody will experience that. And you experience that until you find your teacher. And the biggest struggle for someone like myself right now is that I can't work one-on-one with people anymore. You know, it used to be the work that I did, you know, with the people who have worked with me the longest. It was very, very intensive one-on-one work. I mean, some students I saw multiple times a week, you know, for hours on end, hours on end. It was exhausting, you know, exhausting work. Beautiful, though, you know, absolutely beautiful. But the hard part is that more and more people now are recognizing that they need that level of guidance. And there's only so much that you can do is, you know, and this is the other thing that's very unique about my work is that, you know, I live a regular kind of life, too, you know, and this is my life work. But I'm a mom. You know, I have three beautiful children. And I'm a wife, and I have an amazing, loving, gorgeous husband. And so I have this other life that I don't negate those responsibilities just because I'm a spiritual guide. I'm here to balance all of it, right? Well, that's great, but it only leaves me a certain amount of time. And the same could be said of you know, my guide. You know, we're very different in the sense that people have their idea of what a spiritual guide looks like. You know, so if you think of, well, everyone loves Muji right now. So you think of Muji, look at Muji. So, you know, he looks like the guide and he's got his blanket over his lap and, you know, the whole thing. And then he's just kind of travels from, you know, ashram to ashram and does satsang all over. Well, that's fantastic. I don't look anything like that. I'm sitting here today in, you know, jean capris and a t-shirt. I do not look like a guru. And that's one thing that's very funny is that, you know, the masters you meet, you wouldn't recognize them as masters. And that's the beauty of it. My guide's the same thing. You would never in a million years see her out in a crowd of people. And unless you had inner sight, you would never, ever look at her and go, oh, there's a master in form right there. Look at that. You know, you just wouldn't. You just wouldn't, because she seems so normal and exasperating. So it's challenging, you know, how do you get people to understand the value of your service, of what you really are here to bring to anybody who will listen, when you don't look the part, you know, because people's expectations play such a huge role, you know, and to get past that is certainly a challenge. And I do thank you, PLN, very much for actually bringing that forward, because it is an interesting place we find ourselves in. You know, I know I'm here to do this on a global level. I've known that for many years now. But at the same time, you know, how the word will get out will just be one person to the next person to the next person, you know, just like, but as Sananda said to us one day, and for those of you who aren't very well versed on the masters, Sananda Kumara, an aspect of Sananda actually came here in form as Yeshua ben Joseph, or the man you would all know as Christ Jesus. And Sananda said one day, you know, you don't realize how good you have it because, you know, back in my day, we had to walk everywhere to spread a message, you know, and now we have the internet and we have, you know, a vehicle like BBS, Internet Radio, which is amazing. And we have the capacity to reach, you know, people globally from the comfort of our office space or a living room or whatever. And it didn't used to be that way. So we can reach millions, you know, but it's challenging today because, remember, we're experiencing the dissolution of a reality, of an entire matrix or an entire paradigm. And within the dissolution, you know, I have to come back and I have to repeat these things because it's so important that you understand the whole construct of our third dimensional reality is based on balance, right? Because it's polarized. And because it's polarized, that means that everything has a positive and a negative. Of course, there's everything in between, but there's always the positive and the negative. And it all has to be held in balance here, okay? Just like the Earth is held in its own balance, right? And it's not perfectly cylindrical. It's a little wonky, but it's balanced on its own, right? So we're not any different the way that the reality functions here. And as consciousness continues to expand, which it needs to do in order for humanity to ascend out of third and fourth dimensional consciousness and into fifth dimensional, and on, that light quotient continues to rise. And since everything has to be held in balance, that means that the quotient that we relate to darkness or negativity has to rise in proportion to the light. So right now, what we're experiencing is looking in your outer world and seeing, especially if you've come into more and more levels of inner peace, the outside world seems to look crazier and crazier every day. Well, of course it does, right? Because it's not part of your inner awareness. Your inner awareness is a very peaceful thing. So the outer awareness reflects that which isn't being reflected on the inside, okay? And it will just continue to happen. Now, as it continues to happen, here's the problem. We've got a group of people who will recognize that life is just getting crazier and crazier, and they end up in that space of surrender that PLAN was in, and when she found me, that I was in when I found my guide. And in that space, they will look for guides like myself who are out there doing this kind of work. Or they will be doing other kinds of work and just stumble on people like me. And that's fantastic. And then there are other people out there who will just kind of spiral down that reality, watching their own kind of lives falling apart and just get completely sucked into the victim role and just stay there without even thinking there's another option, which is heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's choice on their part. So remember, as you're listening tonight, that this is exactly what's supposed to be happening right now, okay? Watching, you know, entire economies crumble and banking systems fall apart and wars breaking out and mass genocide and, you know, enormous amounts of wildlife dying off and just all of it, the hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes, just all of it, is part of what has to happen. And for those of you who really resonate with me and with my message in your core, you will know that to be true. That won't surprise you. I remember back when I got introduced to the Lori Toy work. She did the I Am America maps. I remember the first time I saw those maps. For those of you who don't know who Lori Toy is, she did some work with the masters and was able to channel information from them concerning world change in the future. And it wasn't anything like they gave a date, but they were saying, you know, kind of this is what the Earth is going to look like when it's all kind of said and done. And when you see the maps, it's like, wow, it's really shocking to see all of the changes. They're not dissimilar from the Edgar Cayce maps, if you're familiar with Edgar Cayce's work. Actually, there's a Native American, was it Sun Bear? I think it was Sun Bear, who did, don't quote me on that one, but did a similar thing. And again, there are a lot of similarities between all those maps. And I remember the first time I saw it, rather than being horrified at what I was seeing, I felt a sense of excitement. It was like, yeah, like, let's do it. Which is a little crazy because, like, you know how many people would have to die in order for that to happen? And so, but it's not that I have some kind of, you know, sadistic thing about myself. It's that from a very deep inner place, I had a recognition that that is part of the greater plan, right? And that that's where we're moving, and that's good. Because at the end of that day, humanity will ascend. And there's nothing more that I could dream of than for an entire humanity to move as one into fifth dimensional reality, into Christ consciousness. I mean, imagine if you just took a moment and thought, pull up into what you think of as your imagination, the most beautiful existence you could possibly imagine to be real. And if you allowed yourself really to go there without censoring it, without saying, well, that's not possible, so I'm not going to allow that piece in. And if you didn't do any of that, if you just were like a little kid saying, oh, if I could live anywhere, I'd have wings and I'd, you know, like whatever it is, allow it to be real for you and sit in that space. And if I told you that that's exactly what you can move into, and exactly what we're here to do, would it change your opinion of everything that's happening today? Would you still look at it as a bad thing? Or would you look at it as, wow, you know, it's inevitable and it's going to happen, so let's just do it, right? And that's the people that I know very, very well, who have been doing, you know, advanced spiritual work for a long time, they're all in that space. You know, it's just like, whew, let's just keep going. Let's keep going, you know. And when we see things falling apart, we're the ones applauding, going, yay, it's fantastic. We're one step closer, you know. So it is a challenge, you know, and all I can do is keep watching what happens as far as people who continue to say, you know, like us on Facebook or join the meetup groups or whatever it is. And that's my indicator to what's going on collectively. You know, if we're doing our work, people will continue to come. And, you know, so again, thank you to all of you who do listen. It means the world to me. And I don't right now have a gauge on how many people are tuning in, but I know that that's coming. Our dear friends at BBS tell us that those numbers aren't too far off in the distance. So, yeah. So let's talk just a minute about, here's one thing that's kind of interesting. I was just talking about the dissolution is happening now. Okay. And you're playing two roles here. You know, you're here to witness what's happening, and you're going to walk through it. Okay. So any of you who have turned to spiritual work because you're so afraid of living in, you know, an ugly world, you have to recognize that walking your spiritual path does not make the ugly world go away. You're still here. You're still here, and you're still going to witness it. Now, the difference is you're not going to be attached to it anymore. So it's really no big deal what it looks like anymore. But you are here to walk it, okay? And just because you become advanced spiritually does not mean you stop walking it. You know, it's not as if you're going to go, you know, sit in a cave in the Himalayas for the next 30 years. And then in that space, yeah, you'd be in nirvana and that would be great, right? But I don't think that's what we're really being called to do. We're all here to live a life, to be engaged with other people, you know? And you have to recognize that you're not just walking your own reality. You are walking in the reality of others as well. And that's what happens to people. You know, you walk into other people's realities all the time. And their realities get wrapped around your own consciousness and you don't even realize it. But that happens all the time. So for anyone, especially I'm speaking to my students right now who have been struggling lately, and that would be pretty much everybody. Normal, that's fine. It's exactly what should be happening right now. Just recognize that, you know, you aren't, it's not just you. It's not just you. You, the people that you're bonded to, you're walking their realities too. And that's why it's especially important right now to pay attention to who you're bonded to. It's so important. And these are very scary times for many, many, many people, because they're waking up to recognize that the people that they are bonded to aren't healthy for them. And what was okay yesterday isn't okay anymore. And that can be terrifying when it's a spouse or a child or a parent, right? Or a best friend. You know, the concept that, wow, like you get that feeling in your heart. It's that knowing. And it comes out of the solar plexus too. It's that knowing that, oh, this just isn't right anymore. And then the mind fights that. But, you know, loves to pull all those out. But I've been married for 20 years. But if this stops, then I won't have any income. You know, oh yeah, you know, a job would be another thing. But if I leave work, I oh, there goes all my security. Right? The key thing to remember right now is that it's all about your choices. And I know I'm starting to sound like a broken record here, but I'm going to do it anyway, because you've got to get it into your head solidly and then let it sink its way deeply into your heart. It's all about your choices right now. And since this reality is dissolving at a faster and faster pace, and if you've been paying attention for the last few months, you will recognize things are moving faster today than they were 3 months ago. I've got people now telling me that they're really picking up on the level of anxiety that's floating around. And absolutely, you're feeling it right when they wake up in the morning. Just being anxious, because collectively, that's exactly what's going on. The collective is anxious. Oh my gosh, like, you know, what are we going to do? You got to, my 401k is worth nothing now. And my, you know, they're laying off people at work. I've got no job security. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And now you're dealing too with all of this stuff coming up around relationship. Oh my gosh, like I had no idea. Like, you know, I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years and I just found out that, you know, he's been engaged in pornography the whole time. And I feel like it's been all a lie. Now having to decide, what are you going to do there? Stay or go? And it's just this all over the place. And collectively, there's a huge amount of anxiety sitting around. And yeah, you're part of the collective and you're going to pick up on it. One of my students in particular contacted me to let me know that when she woke up, she was recognizing all of that stuff would come. And it would be, it's not just the energy of it. Of course, it got labeled. So there were different thoughts that would come that, you know, were thoughts that would be common to her life experience on a daily basis. And it was just distressing to her for a while, until this morning she woke up and recognized that that's exactly what was happening. It was just energy, and all of the images were coming because those images were there to get her to identify with the energy in her own life. to say, oh, I feel this because of that, right? And that's the thing that I've warned all of you about before, because that's how mind gets you. That's where that identification occurs, because it's just energy, right? And that energy doesn't even have a name, really. It's just energy. So if it's seen for what it is, then it's nothing other than a sensation you feel in the physical form. That's it. That's it. But what happens is that the matrix of the brain will pull up an image, and then that image says, oh, yes, anxiety linked to that memory. Oh, it must be that. That's why I feel this way. Oh, it's because of this. I don't know how I'm going to make my rent payment this month, right? And now, what do we know about the brain, right? We just identified with that. So now what's it going to do? It's going to create that whole cocktail of chemicals that's going to run through your being and dock in to those receptor sites, right? And it's got you. It just gave you your next fix as the addict that you are to your own story. And that holds it in place. But what if it's just seen as energy? And what if in the moment, what she saw this morning was that, oh, it's like, it has nothing to do with all of those images. It has nothing to do with any of those stories. It's just energy. And in that place, it's kind of funny, because you can just sit back and just witness it for what it is. It's just energy. Yeah. Remember, it has no power in and of itself if you don't identify with it. None of the stories that you tell yourself have any power other than the power that you give it by thinking of it as you, or being afraid that it is you. So your choices are the things that are going to determine what your reality looks like tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Because today, what you're witnessing in your outside world is the past. You are living in your past right now. The choices you made yesterday determined where you are right now. So we've talked before about timelines and how there's only one moment and everything exists in one moment, right? And we talked before about how you literally, consciousness jumps timelines all the time. But because they're so close together, you don't recognize that you just jumped into a different reality altogether. And it feels seamless to you. So you could start to recognize that the choices I make today are determining which timeline I'm going to live out tomorrow. And which timeline is that going to be? Right? The one of greater peace and greater love, or the one of greater fear, greater angst and anger? And you alone determine those choices. Can't blame them on anybody else. I don't care what your life looks like. I don't care. You cannot blame any of it on someone else. And there are some of you out there who are going to be really challenged with that one, because you say, oh, you don't understand. I didn't ask for this. I had this put on me. And that's a cop out, because you did ask for it. How do I know you asked for it? Because you're living it. And you wouldn't be living it if you didn't ask for it. Every single one of you. People really get angry when I talk like this, because you'll have people who have cancer, you know, you'll have people who have these situations in their lives that, you know, it looks as though they really are victimized by where they're sitting. And then you let them know that they're the ones who determined that that was going to happen for them because they wanted it to. And they'll be like, oh, you've got to be kidding. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It's like, well, you wished it on yourself. You are your worst enemy. This is the truth, too. Mm-hmm. I know someone, another student of mine, who recently got a really good lesson, because this person made a posting, had seen something about herself and made a posting on Facebook. And that posting related to something she had seen that concerned another person. And then that person saw it and identified with it and then contacted her to find out if, you know, it was related to this person. And it started this whole process for her. And the thing that she ended up having pointed out to her was that, you know, she posted it on purpose. That was why she posted it. She posted it because she wanted to get the response back. And in the moment, it was like, what? Like, I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that? You know, I don't want to have communication with that person anymore. Why would I do that? Well, duh, you know, because we have to perpetuate the story. You think it happens on a conscious basis? It's not conscious, people. It's unconscious until you go in and see it for what it is. And then you bring it to the light. And then once it's brought to the light, it doesn't have to operate anymore. So something as simple as making a posting on Facebook for the serious student, even the serious student will stop before they do it and look at it and go, why am I doing this? What's the purpose, right? And if you see that there is domination, manipulation, or control, or any component of those three that could possibly have something to do with it, don't do it. Because it's just a way for you to perpetuate your story, to perpetuate your victimization. You're creating a situation where you're going to get feedback that's going to leave you feeling victimized. And it's going to allow the entire thing to cycle over and over and over again. Remember, the lower mind plays all the roles. It knows all the tricks. It's extremely clever. You have no idea right now how clever it is and how difficult it is to navigate it. And your discernment is key. And that is one of the greatest aspects of doing this level of work, is moving into greater and greater levels of discernment, which is really, really challenging. So remember, you know, even the person who professes to be, you know, a serious student of the work, you know, a serious seeker, determined to reach enlightenment in this lifetime, even those students are making choices today that are setting themselves up to stay exactly where they are. And they will say, I don't want to be this. I hate who I am right now. And yet they'll make the choices that'll keep them stuck right there. The challenge right now is to be humble enough and open enough and trusting enough to pull back and say, especially if it's coming from me or someone like me, and we point it out to you and say, you asked for this and here it is. Now it's your turn to sit back and be willing to say, okay, how did I do it? Let me look at it. Let me really see it for what it is. Because remember, it's not you. It never has been. You aren't a victim. You aren't a perpetrator, and you're not the savior. You transcend all titles and all roles and all identifiers. You never have been any of them. You are the witness to them, but you are not them. So don't take it personally when someone like myself says, you asked for that. It's not personal to you. The only thing it's personal to is the program that is lower mind. And you are not that. You are beginningless, endless, formless, single, being, knowledge, and bliss. You are divine. And I love you. So now we're going to go into meditation. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And God willing, we will see you next week. Good night. Thank you.
are divine.